Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. But today, it's going to be food power. Yes. As you all know, when you listen to my show, you find that I'll share recipes with you. And today, we are going to have one of the top chefs from New York City, Marcello Russo De Vito. He is on the line with us. We have a wonderful opportunity to find out about a man who's put together, one, a beautiful cookbook, and two, find out his story. Find out what his 25-year journey in the world of cooking and owning a restaurant and serving celebrities, all of this, and even we're going to share some recipes with you. Marcello Russo De Vito, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Donna. How are you?
Well, I'm doing wonderfully. Your cookbook is a feast for the eyes. It is absolutely gorgeous. And
Grazie mille.
Ah, you're more than welcome. Now, I have to tell you, Marcello, I'm part Italian. My father came from the southern area of Italy, from a little village outside of Rome, and the love of cooking I developed because of my Italian relatives that occasionally we had the opportunity to interact with. And I had an Aunt Josefina. She's passed on now many years ago. But she's the one that introduced me to cooking. And when I looked at the picture of your mother, it reminded me a great deal of my Aunt Josefina because she was a very short little lady and just about as round as she was tall. And she just was this marvelous, marvelous cook. Is that where you got your love of cooking from, the love of food and making it your life as a chef?
I would say that halfway. Let's say that my mother was a great cook, but if you read the story on my book, you can say that I always wanted to be the front of the house person. I was very, very good with people. But, of course, you know, my mother cooking was always excellent. But then when I went to the culinary, my brother told me, go to the back of the house, because once you're learning how to cook, you can always go to the front of the house. It's very different than if you go from the front to the back. It's better to go from the back to the front. And knowing both traits, you know. So, but my mother was a great cook. She was making one of the best lasagna in the world with a tiny meatball, very, very tiny, tiny, tiny meatball, and scamorza cheese.
Mm-hmm. Now,
your last name is Sebo, right?
Yes, but my maiden name was Vitoni.
Ah, okay, wonderful. But before, when I first heard your voice, your name, I thought it was Cibo. Cibo in Italian means food.
Uh-oh. I don't want to end up looking like my Aunt Josefina. But thank you so much. But I really, you know, I really do think that food should be a feast for the eyes as well as strength and wellness for the body. And that is one of the wonderful gifts that your cookbook brings to people that read it. One, you've got a fabulous story, and I want to go into your story because you've been a top-notch chef, a five-star chef for 25 years, and you have a love of food and presentation. And when you said you went through culinary training, I think that's marvelous because there are so many things that you learn. But not only did you do that, you decided you were going to open your own restaurant. Now, I want to just give my audience a little bit of your background. In 1992,1986, you opened your first restaurant. 1992, you were on live with Regis and Kathy Lee. 1993, you were voted one of the 50 best restaurants in the tri-state area of New York, and 90, you know, it you just kept growing. You were doing...
Well, we kept, for 26 years, we always made sure that we were up to with the time, innovative, but never lose the old-fashioned cuisine, the traditional cuisine, but always created new recipes. We always try to represent the Italian food with the right ingredients, not the fake ingredients. Always, I was honored by the Italian president of Italy, Luigi Scalfaro, and then Giorgio Napolitano as ambassador of Italian cuisine abroad. We opened up many restaurants. I also moved to the famous Hocus Inn. Is George Washington slept right outside this inn in the Bergen County area of New Jersey. And then I moved from a Victorian, from an American cuisine to Italian cuisine for 10 years. And then we always try to keep the Italian cuisine with its freshness of ingredients and with the passion, you know, always alive. And that's why I was able to survive 26 years in this business, despite even the worst economy that we ever have.
Well, one of the things that you have always emphasized is that you wanted to listen to your customers. This was something you learned a long time ago, and I was intrigued by a story, especially with your first restaurant, because you had very large plates that you served the meals on, and your customers kept saying, the plates are so big that we think we're getting a very small portion, which they weren't. So you switched to smaller plates, and people were happy. They could actually see the portions. It's amazing what the eye
absolutely,
does.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was the best thing. And sorry, Donna, but that you're right, absolutely. And that was right away in the first 3 weeks. If I didn't do that switch properly, I would be out of business today. But then it took me about 3 years to go back the way I want to.
Just that one little thing.
Yes, exactly. Because you know what happened? The first impression, okay, for customers is what it counts. So I was able to, the same thing happened with my mitzos. You know, the original recipe for a mitzos is to chop everything with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And make it meat, you know, pretty chunky. Okay? And then in Italy, when we serve the bolognese, you know, the mitzos, the famous bolognese from Bologna, we only serve 2 spoons of sauce on top of the fettuccine, okay? Where in this country, they use a ragu. So that means they put a lot of tomato inside and they make it very loose, okay? And they serve like 6 spoons of the fettuccine. In Italy, we always say that you need to eat pasta with sauce and not sauce with pasta. So what happened is, what I was making by hand and only using 2 spoons, automatically the customer says, I want more sauce. So automatically I said, you know something? I said, I'm not in an area where I can allow myself to go out of a business. So when I did it, I compromised.
What you were saying about the difference between the people in Italy and the Italians, the way they eat, and then with the way we are here in the United States, I think that is so very, very true. But you did not dumb down your recipes. You did not make them tasteless. There are so many times when you will go in to an Italian restaurant, and when I taste the food, because I grew up with the home cooking, I'll say to my husband, this isn't Italian. This is dumbed down American. That's my terminology. And he'll say, oh, no, this is delicious. You don't know what you're talking about. I said, yes, I do. And it's amazing when you use the actual meat, the Italian sausages, not what you get in your local grocery store, but if you go to an Italian deli and you actually get the Italian meats, the flavors are incredible, absolutely incredible, whether it's the fennel seed, whatever, oregano, basil, whatever it is that they use, the combinations, it is so exquisitely different. And once people taste that, you can't go back. And that's what I like about your recipes, is that you're keeping it in the in the flavor of the Italian cuisine.
Well, think about this only. Let's say we're cooking a dish of a pasta, right?
Yes.
And a lady goes to the supermarket and goes into the shelf and he looks at the pasta. And let's say he buys a pasta, not really a durum pasta, and maybe he buys the pasta from, let's say, America. In this case here, you know, it used to be Ronzoni or something. Nothing wrong about the pasta. Now, actually, they make a good pasta. But about 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the pasta was very starchy, you know, that you had to rinse it out. But anyway, let's say you buy 1 pound of Ronzoni pasta. Okay, then you go in and you buy Parmesan cheese from, let's say, Argentina. Okay, and then you buy some olive oil, extra virgin olive oil from Greece. Nothing wrong with that virgin olive oil. Okay, and now a tomato from Turkey. Now you cook a pound, you cook a dish like that. Now telling me if that is Italian. Instead, if you buy, let's say, a durum pasta from Italy, could be the Ceco Barilla, whatever, as long as it's product in Italy, and then you buy Parmigiano Reggiano or Grana Padana from Italy, extra virgin olive oil from Puglia, Sicily, or Tuscany, okay, and then tomatoes and Marzano from Campania. Now, think about the difference. You can make the same exactly dish, okay, with the same exactly things, but one dish, it will completely be horrible, and the other one is authentic. And the difference on these two items is we use the right amount of sauce. Not too much, not too little. The difference is probably $1.25. And you're using great product, less saturated fat, makes you less fat, and it's a great dish. That's a sample of a freshness and good ingredients. But today we have the supermarket full of a fake product, and they all have the Italian flake around. Okay,
yes.
And I tested the other day. I tested some Parmesan cheese, and then I put it in a non-stick pan, and the Parmesan cheese that cost $8 become breadcrumbs. Then I bought the Grana Padana or the Parmigiano Reggiano, okay, for the same amount, melted beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So you pay $4 less, and you got breadcrumbs.
Yes, I think that is really what makes the difference. And that is something that unless you have had a chance to go to culinary school or unless you talk with someone that understands this, I think one of my fondest memories was going with my father to an Italian deli that was about a mile or so from our home. And whenever I opened the doors to that Italian deli, even when I was a very small child, I loved the smell. There were the smells of the sausages, the cheeses. They might be fixing something like a pizza, whatever. The flavors were so exceptional. And that is what I wanted my audience to know, that the Italian cuisine is not bland. It has so much flavor to it because the ingredients are fresh. What I wanted to do, Marcello, your book, again, is just absolutely spectacular. It would make a fabulous gift for someone if they love to cook. I think it would just be absolutely awesome. But I wanted to talk about some of the recipes, because the recipes that you have in this book, you've got so much variety. But they're really easy to fix. And one of the very first ones that you've got in your book is chicken liver pate with crostini. And this is so absolutely delicious. Let's talk about this because this is so easy to make.
Very easy to make. The only thing you have to do is buy some chicken livers, okay, clean it up, all the little nerves that is around the chicken livers, okay, and then put a little onions into a pan with some olive oil, okay, stir frying the onions like for a couple minutes, then add the chicken livers. Okay, seasoning with a little bit of salt and pepper, okay, and for like another minute or two, okay, get some capers inside, okay, and then a little bit of a chicken stock or a little bit of water, okay, and then put everything in a blender, okay, on a food processor, and then you have the chicken livers. Now you take some nice ciabatta bread or crostini, Italian bread, and you can grill the bread or you can put under the salamander or under the broiler, okay, with just a little olive oil. Take a little bit of that chicken liver paste, put them on top, and it's delicious. Or you can use polenta. You can make some polenta, okay, let them cool off the polenta, and then fry the polenta, and then you can put a scoop of one teaspoon or a spoon of chicken livers on top. And it's very simple, only a few ingredients, capers, olive oil, onions, salt, pepper, and the chicken livers.
Yes, it's absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And I like what you said about the polenta. Polenta, for those of you that may or may not be familiar with it, is cornmeal. And it's so easy to fix, and he has a polenta recipe. But polenta is very, very easy to fix. It doesn't take much time at all. But then if you put it in a dish...
Well, if you use it... I'm sorry, Mrs. Donna. If you buy the real polenta, you know, it takes about 45 minutes. You put in water, just like the porridge, okay? You put in water, okay? Water is boiling. You can put a little olive oil, a little salt. Some people put a little milk or a little bit of butter. Then when it boils, you put the flour, you know, inside, and then you stir it, okay, for about 45 minutes, but not all the time, as long as it doesn't stick, and then the polenta is done. But now they're making also a lot of Italian polenta, instant polenta, that only takes about 6 or 7 minutes, and it's also very, very good. But if you're very traditional, then you buy the real polenta, about 45 minutes, and you have a perfect soft polenta you can serve with many, many sauces, or you let it cool off, and then you can make all these recipes.
Well, that is wonderful to know. Thank you, because I was aware of the faster cooking one. So this is really good to know. So there is that other version of polenta, like you said, if you wanted to do the traditional way, where you cook it very slowly, and it's 45 minutes. But, oh, it is really, really good. Let's talk about a recipe that you have in here that I think is phenomenal. That is the pan-seared sea scallop with aged balsamic vinegar. Summertime, we want lighter food.
Well, that is a recipe a little bit expensive, because you have to buy the traditional 12 years old balsamic vinegar from Italy. It's aged for 12 years. I don't know if a lot of people know that balsamic vinegar, you start with a big barrel, okay, of a wine. Usually it's a Sangiovese wine from Emilia-Romagna. Okay, and then that wine, okay, goes and moves from different barrels until it gets to a very small barrel, and it takes 12 years of evaporating. So when it becomes 12 years old, So basically you start with a big barrel, okay? And the barrel, okay, has all different flavors, and there's some opening where it evaporates. Usually they do it into the attic instead of doing a cellar, they do in the balsamic vinegar into the attic, because you want the heat to make this wine evaporating. So then each year they're moving from one barrel to another barrel, always smaller, smaller, and smaller, until they get into a small barrel, and the balsamic becomes very, very thick. Okay? And that can be 12 years, 14 years, 16 years, so it's very, very expensive. Of course, now people, they're reducing the regular balsamic, the cheaper balsamic, they reduce it with some sugar, and then they make it going from 100% to, like, say, reduce to 60%. And then they're making a little fake balsamic glaze, because otherwise it would be very expensive. But otherwise, what you do, you only use very little. So it's around maybe $100, okay, for one small bottle. But what you do is you take the scallops and you put salt and pepper on the scallops, a little bit of olive oil, take a nonstick pan, okay, and then you crispy the scallop in both sides until they get very caramelized. You need to know that the scallops, they don't need to be cooked too much, otherwise they become rubber. So they can be a little bit medium rare in the middle, okay? And then what you do is you sear nice, okay, and then you put into a plate, then you take some yellow pepper and red pepper, and then you make a very, very, very stripe, okay, raw, okay? And then you put a little olive oil. Okay, again, a pinch of salt and pepper, and then you take a few drops of the balsamic vinegar, you put around the plate, and then you take the scallop, you dip a little bit in the balsamic, and it's an unbelievable dish. But like I said, this dish can be a little bit expensive for some people if they want to use the authentic recipe. When you go to some restaurants where they use balsamic vinegar in many dishes, 90% is a reduction that they make it by adding sugar in it.
Americans love their coffee, and you have, as do the Europeans. And the Italians, they have their own special way of making coffee. You have a recipe here, coffee granita. And
coffee granita,
is so,
yes.
Yes, it is so easy. Share with my audience what they can do to have an absolutely delicious cup of coffee.
Oh, that's very nice, very nice. Let me tell you how we do this, okay? Very simple, okay? Well, mm-hmm. You take espresso coffee, you make a pot of espresso coffee, okay? You let them cool off. You add some sugar, okay? You stir yourself, okay? Make sure that is not too sweet, but not unsweet, okay? And then you put the coffee into the freezer, okay? And then every half an hour, okay, or every hour, do this when you're home, okay? You go in and you're stirring, okay, in the freezer mm-hmm. until the coffee starts to be crystal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're stirring, it will be perfect. Okay, then what you do, you put in a glass and you put some whipped cream in it. This is the famous granita di caffè that in Roman they go crazy. But now, let's say you don't have the time to stirring. Okay, take the same thing, put in the freezer. Okay, now it becomes like a block. Alright, yes. Then take the block, okay, put in the food processor and you crush like it would be a crushed ice. Alright, mm-hmm. And then you put back into the freezer right away. So that's called the granita. Now, the best is to stir in slowly, slowly, if you're home. But if you're not home and you want to do it, just to put a block, then you put in the food processor, you crush only maybe one or two times, because otherwise it melts quick, you know?
The fresh berries are out, strawberries are out, and they are wonderful for a summer dessert. But to really make it a special, special dessert, you have cold zabaione with strawberries, and this is a pudding-like mixture, and this, again, is so delicious, so easy. It's an elegant, elegant way to serve strawberries. Share with us how you do that.
Zabaglione is also very simple. You take some egg yolks, right? You put some mm-hmm. sugar, you put a little masala wine, a little white wine, okay? And you put in a double boiler, okay? Make sure that the boiler, the water doesn't touch the copper bowl or the stainless steel bowl or the glass bowl, okay? And then with a whisk, you're whipping, okay, on top of the water. The heat of the water will make the eggs get thick, okay? And mm-hmm. then what you do is when you feel like, you know, you can, with a spoon, you know, the zabaglione stays firm on a spoon, you let them cool off, okay, in the refrigerator. Then you take some whipped cream, okay, and you mix in the whipped cream with the egg mixture, the zabaglione. And then what you do is you put on top of your strawberries. Very simple recipe to do.
Oh, and it's so elegant. You put it in a pretty dish. You serve it. It's light. It's perfect to have as a dessert to any meal because it is something that does wonderful things for your palate after you've had a meal. And during the summer, it is extremely refreshing to have. Marcello, with what you have done, you have been in business for 25 years. You have some wonderful stories that you share in your book, but you have a very strong work ethic. And you make a statement in your book. You say, I've learned that no success comes without first taking an initial step. I've also learned that no projects advance without some fighting spirit. I think those words are very important because we are and have been for a while in some very difficult times financially that have created a lot of upheaval in people's lives. Yet you have been able to manage to maintain your positioning as one of the top chefs in New York. You have wonderful food in your restaurants. People love what you do. And I think you're really an inspiration because the restaurant business has always been a business that's been very difficult for people to survive in, especially as times evolved and people have gone more to fast food so frequently. Eating delicious cuisine like yours is something that they might not do as often because of the economic structure. But your attitudes about business that you express in your book, I think, are so, so outstanding.
One of the reasons is passion. Okay, mm-hmm. And also a way to adapting yourself to different recipes. Remember, I come from a region where it was very poor, the Molise and the Abruzzi region, okay? And what happened is, this is a food that we can make with vegetable, with chicken, with, we don't have to cook with guinea hen, we don't have to cook with pheasant, we don't have to cook with, you know, expensive items. We can cook great dishes. By using chicken legs, by using calamari, by using, you know, but the important thing that the passion from any chef and the humility that you go into a kitchen and that makes you survive the bad economy because mm-hmm. you go back to the market yourself, you make sure that every ingredient doesn't go waste. You just like a mother that has to feed five children would be very frugal to make the food great, but without Absolutely. Going to the expense. You can make with brashol. You can make with the clear-cut meat that costs you only $3-4 a pound. You don't have to buy choice sirloin, you know, ribeye, tuna. You can use cod instead of a tuna, and it's mm-hmm. 1/4 of the price. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I do. I do. Well, Marcello, I just think your cookbook is fabulous. And for those of you listening, if you love Italian food, he's just told you, you can substitute some of the meat ingredients for whatever fits your budget. What it is flavor. And that is what the Italians are famous for. And I'll tell you the recipe in here for an Italian cheesecake. Oh, boy. I mean, these are wonderful recipes. These are recipes that are easy to make, but they reflect the dynamic, flavorful cuisine of a culture that I just love. And, of course, it's partly because I'm Italian myself, but the joy of food, sharing it with other people, that is a plus. Now, Marcello, I know you have a website, marcellosgroup.com. And for those of you that want the correct spelling of Marcello's last name, it's Russo DeVito, Russo DeVito. If you enjoy food.
Yeah, Donna, if they want to get the book, they can go to the website. We have a web store. And the only thing they have to do is Google Marcello Saffer New York, okay, or Marcello Russo DeVito, or just Marcello New York, and I will come up, you know, on any Google search. And they can go to the website, and we will just send the book. Now, if they wanted to buy just the electronic book, it's very inexpensive. It's only $4.95. They're getting an electronic copy. Otherwise, it's $25 for the hard copy, and we will ship it to them.
Wonderful. Let me tell you, if you have a friend that loves to cook, this would be an awesome, awesome book to give. You know, the holidays are going to be coming up in a few months, and why not think ahead? Marcello Russo DeVito, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been delightful having you. I wish you another 25 successful years in New York with your restaurant.
Thank you, Donna.
And your wonderful, wonderful cuisine. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Wow, I'm telling you, I so enjoy talking to chefs about cuisine. I learned something about polenta that I didn't know. For all of my years of being involved with cooking, I don't do a lot of polenta. Corn is not one of my favorite things. But to know that there's two different types you can work with, isn't that great? So anyway, I just am so appreciative of Marcello Russo De Vito. He's just a wonderful man. Oh, the recipes are just awesome. Okay, telephone lines are open. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. 888-627-6008. Well, before I forget it, it's happening tomorrow in Western Washington, the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. I have now only 3 family passes left. Give me a call if you'd like to get one. Call me at my office, 253-582-5604. The first weekend starts tomorrow. We have 3 marvelous weekend. I have 3 family passes left. So give me a buzz, 253-582-5604, so I can get out to you immediately. And this is a family event. It is so colorful. I was out setting up yesterday, and all of these phenomenal booths are going up, these wonderful, wonderful people that bring skills and services and drama and plays and music. It's just magical. So if you have a chance to come out, again, get in touch with me so that I can give you a free pass. But know that it's at the Kelly Farm in Bonnie Lake, Washington, and it's this weekend and the next 2 weekends following. And we are going to be having a fabulous, fabulous time. So do call me if you want to do that, or go to WashingtonFair.com, WashingtonFair, F-A-R-E.com, and you'll have driving directions and everything else. It's going to be available for you. I wanted to share a thought with you today, and it's about education. I was having a conversation with a young lady yesterday, and this young woman has been having a real challenge finding work. And I had an opportunity previously, this was about a year ago, because we interact every once in a while, and I had strongly encouraged her to go back to school. And this was something that she kept making excuses about. And she is very bright. She dropped out of high school when she was younger, and ended up going back and getting her GED, and she's so bright that she was almost off the charts relative to the testing she did. For some reason, because she doesn't have what I feel is a good level of self-esteem, she has not really gone forward to invest her time, effort, and energy in education. Well, she's been out looking for work, and what's happened and what has come to her attention is that her education is sadly lacking, and she really wants to be involved in a medical area relating to animals. Well, I came across this subject matter relative to education, and it was by Abraham Lincoln, and I'm going to share it with her at some time in the future, but this is something we all need to remember. Abraham Lincoln failed for so many years at so many things that he did. He failed in business. He was considered a failure in politics. But Abraham did something that very few other people in his generation did. And the same goes for today, and I'm seeing it. he had a habit. He had a habit of reading. And people that would criticize him because he had failed at so many things, they'd say, what's good? What good is all of this education you're getting? It's never gotten you a decent living. Now, think back in that time frame. Most of the people were farmers. And he was raised on a farm. And he was in poor, very poor circumstances. But this is what Lincoln said to this individual. Education is not given for the purpose of earning a living. It's learning what to do with a living after you earn it that counts. Now, let me repeat those words. Education is not given for the purpose of earning a living. It's learning what to do with a living after you earn it that counts. This is so important. I don't care what age you are. Continuous learning, opening up your mind, being willing to read, being willing to be alert to new ideas, information, cultivating your own intelligence level really makes a difference. There's a man by the name of Jim Trelease. He had devoted well over 20 years in promoting what he considered in his time the most important factor in social environment. He said, the more you read, the smarter you grow. The smarter you grow, the longer you stay in school. The longer you stay in school, the more money you earn. The more you earn, the better your children will do in school. So if you hook a child with reading, you influence not only his or her future, but also that of the next generation. And this is something we need to remember. If someone cannot read well, they're not going to do well. It's very important. And if you don't think that that is significant, I know of people who have signed contracts that were so-called literate, but they didn't understand what they were reading. So it's not just being able to read, it's being able to comprehend what you read. And that is an ongoing process. Researchers, they have found that the time a person spends reading and the number of innovative ideas and creative solutions a person will develop is amazing. Reading affects a person's ability to reason and the ability to communicate by providing an extended and accurate vocabulary. It is very important that you read. It is very important that you not just watch television, because whatever you get on television is going to be compartmentalized and fed to you like an aspirin. Also, what's fed to you is that, gee whiz, they know more about what's right for you than what you do. No. You need to be willing to expand your mind, to expand your learning. I don't care if it's becoming a carpenter. You need to read. Do you know, in today's working marketplace, and I'll give you an example, because this is a conversation I had with someone just yesterday. This young woman said there was a job that she would have qualified for, but one of the things she needed to know how to do was to operate a forklift. That's right. They didn't care whether the employee was male or female. You had to know how to operate a forklift. She said, that's not my skill. And they said, you didn't have to have experience. They would teach you. But in today's world, operating a forklift is going to take an understanding of how to work with machinery. But what if that forklift breaks down? You then have to become a mechanic. Anyone that was put down years ago for being a blue-collar worker, let me tell you, those blue-collar workers are worth their weight in gold because we have a huge generation of skilled blue-collar workers that are going to be retiring. Their knowledge and understanding of how to deal with buildings, of how to deal with so many things, wires, plumbing, there's just ad infinitum, building materials. I watched a program just a few days ago about a building that was built in 1960-61. The materials in that building, they had to destroy the building because they were clearing the land they were going to build something up. Well, this building had been condemned, and so it needed to be taken down. It was so well built, they had to go to the drawing board, so to speak, to figure out how they were going to bring this building down because it was so well built that it wasn't collapsing. the way it was supposed to collapse. So they had to bring in different equipment. They said this was amazing to them, the quality of workmanship that was going on in the 60s in the building that they had to destroy. So when you're looking at a job environment, when you are looking at something and saying, oh, well, this person is just a plumber. Oh, this person, they just work in concrete. Let me tell you something. Now, when you go and you go to a school that is going to teach you those particular skills, you're embarking into a whole different world. It wasn't like your grandfather. And I talked to a carpenter who is very, very skilled. This is a man that worked with his hands, worked with electricity, he worked with wiring, he worked with building on all different levels. He was a journeyman of an exceptional type, and he's now in his 70s. And he happened to get a new neighbor. This is a young man that wanted to be in the building industry. Well, Gary and this young man, I'll call him Bill, started talking across the fence. The young man, very much like Gary was when he was young, didn't want to go to college, but he liked working with his hands. Gary said, my education is ongoing. He said, I'm teaching the young man about tools, about materials, about how to deal with certain environmental situations. And he said, this young man is teaching me about new tools that I didn't even know were available. He said, wow, this is incredible. What's the benefit? The older generation is working with the younger generation. That is the benefit. The skills of the elder, the young can absorb in certain aspects because lots of times work has to be done. Just like I told you with this construction group of people, they weren't around when the 60s to understand how to deal with certain things. So they had to go back to their mental drawing boards and their physical drawing boards to find out exactly what was there so that they could take care of what needed to be taken care of today. This is too valuable to be lost. So if you're wise, if you're looking to become skilled in any arena, do not say, just don't assume that you're going to get it all from a book. That's not going to happen. But you need to know how to read. You know how to use, you have to use computers. You have to use all kinds of things. Link up with someone that will enable you to be an apprentice, even in the restaurant business. Computers are a significant part, but there are some basics that you can only get one-on-one with someone that's walked the path of experience. So link up with people that have knowledge. Be willing to learn from them. You will gain so much, and you'll use whatever modern-day situations and tools can afford you, and they'll work together nicely. You'll be smarter than anybody else, and not only will you have a job, you'll have a career. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment, 888-627-6008. When we come back, if you'd like to chat, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little intuitive insight. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now. Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin. non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I wanted to share a story with you because I was talking about education. This woman's story, and this is what spurred my talking to you about this. Whenever I hear of people that have gone not just an extra mile, but maybe an extra 5 miles, or 10 miles, or 20 miles, so to speak, it impresses me because they are very open about how maybe they felt about failing. They will share their pains and their frustrations with you. And I always think that takes a lot of courage, don't you think? For someone to be open about their pain and their suffering, and yet they manage to persevere to get through, to accomplish what they really wanted to accomplish, to me, that is worth its weight in platinum, because it is absolutely inspiring. We all go through moments where we just feel like we're at the bottom of the pit, and we can't see any way out of the mucky muck that we might be in. Well, this is a woman. Her name is Gracie, and she was a single mom. Gracie was having a tough time, and she was really wanting to go to college. Boy, college meant a lot to her. She just said, I know I can make a life for my family, and this is so important. Well, Gracie had to go and see her doctor. She ended up being diagnosed with cancer. And she was just absolutely shocked. She was terrified. And the reason that she was terrified is that she had been diagnosed with cancer years before, breast cancer. They had done a lumpectomy. Everything was fine. She was doing great. But you know what? In the process of years, she was married. She gets divorced. Her husband abandoned her and her family. So she had to work. Any of you gone through that? She had to get a job. She was only able to get a part-time job because she didn't have much of an education, and a part-time job wasn't enough to support her children. So Gracie did what a lot of Americans do, got a second job. She started working at night, and then she got a third job. She did that on the weekend, no matter how hard she worked. She just was barely able to make ends meet. And one of her family members said, well, a family member, in fact, that she was named after, it was her Aunt Grace. She said to her one day, she said, Aunt Grace, I just feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I'm just never going to get ahead. I just don't have time for anything. I am working literally almost nonstop. I can't give the time to my children the way I want. So she was expressing her frustration. Well, her Aunt Grace said, you need to go on with your education, and you need to make time for the important things in life. Well, her Aunt Grace went out and did some research because Gracie was working all the time. Gracie didn't have time to sit down for hours and do research, so her Aunt Grace did. And she met up with Gracie not too soon or not too long after she had had this conversation, and she said, you've got an application here for a particular university, and you can get some financial aid. Let's do this. Well, she applied to the university. She had to explain her circumstances. To her amazement, she was accepted. Well, Aunt Grace said, I will help you out. Gracie's mom said, I'll help with the children. You go to school. So she had two advocates for her. Well, Gracie was a little concerned. All she could see was a pile of bills, but she knew that this was an out for her. She starts into school. She then gets this devastating news about the breast cancer. She goes in for a double mastectomy. Now, anybody that has ever known anyone that goes through that, that is horrific. That surgery is just unbelievable. And this had come back 11 years after her first diagnosis. She said, I have to do this. I have to do this for myself. I've got to finish school. But she said, I'm going to do this, which she did. 3 days after surgery, and this is major surgery, she ends up going back to class. She was really having a tough time. Her pain medication made it very difficult for her to concentrate. And she just said, I've got to do this. She was in pain when she drove her car because she had to put her seatbelt over her chest. That caused pain. But you know what? She made it through those classes. She was determined. Her instructors, her classmates, her family just couldn't get over this. This is how determined this woman was. She could very easily have bowed out that semester. She chose not to do that. She finally got her degree. Today she's got a wonderful job. She's able to provide for her family well. She said, I'm finally living the life of my dreams. For anyone who wants to change their life, I say this, don't let anyone, especially yourself, stand in your way. Believing in yourself makes anything possible. Anything possible. It is so important for you to realize that you are the best investment that you have in your life. Tough times can hit any place, anytime, anywhere. It's just a factor of life. But by golly, if you have the courage, the perseverance, the awareness that you are going after a particular goal, by golly, you're going to be able to make it. It is going to be the gift that you give yourself. So if you're feeling like you're stuck, start reading. I want you to go to your library. Make friends with your research librarian. Open up your mind. Take some classes. I don't care if you're 75 years old or if you're 15. Go for it. Because this world has a great deal to offer. But without being able to read, without being able to comprehend what you're reading, and without expanding your mind and your education, you will stay stuck. So invest in yourself. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have an absolutely awesome weekend. If you can come out to the Renaissance Fair, step by my booth where that has the big, bright yellow banners with the gigantic red lions, and say hello. I'd love to meet you. Donna Sebo here. Talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.